Hello, Crispy here. We hope you've enjoyed our 2025 podcast season of Screen Tones. We're going to be taking a break to recharge and integrate a few changes into our show, and we want to know what webcomic questions you have for us on an upcoming special Q&A stream. Send us your questions at screentonescast.com/contact. We rely on the generosity of listeners, so if you enjoy what we do, please consider dropping by our Ko-fi at ko-fi.com/screentonescast or Patreon at patreon.com/screentonescast to help us keep things going. Thanks again for an amazing 2025, and have a wonderful holiday season. Halloween's a holiday, right?
All right, here we go. Hello, and welcome to Screen Tones, where we talk about anything and everything webcomics. Today, we're going to be talking about comedy in webcomics. I'm Delphina, I use she, her pronouns, and I make the webcomic Sombulus.
And I'm Bob, I use any pronouns, and I make the webcomics Demon of the Underground and Into the Smoke.
Okay, so there are a lot of approaches to comedy in webcomics. I wanted to get together an episode about that because, yeah, it's good to talk about. Humor is often rooted in all kinds of cultural trends, current events, age groups, time periods, and styles. So it can be really hard when people ask about how to learn to write comedy to talk about it because there's so many different ways to approach it, but Bob and I are going to try to do our best today to break down at least our experiences and approaches, and hopefully that'll help you too. There's just so many things that you can do, and yeah, I'm excited to talk about at least some of them. So I think the thing that I think about when I first think about comedy is like the short form things, like the traditional newspaper style things that may or may not have recurring characters like Calvin and Hobbes or The Far Side. And that's like often people's first exposure to comedy sort of in comics, right?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, that's probably where I first discovered comedy in the form of comics and realized that it was something that I enjoyed and wanted to try out. You just kind of like jogged my memory because yeah, back in like junior high, high school, those were the first types of comics I actually wrote. And now, you know, I do primarily long form web comics, but I do still also do a lot of like one shot comedic things. I think the horizontal format we think about with the old newspapers, it's harder now because, you know, with everyone primarily being on like a vertical phone screen, you just oriented vertically and all of a sudden same jokes and it reads differently.
Yeah, because the four panel comics in Japan were kind of traditionally stacked one on top of the other because that's a more natural reading order for that country.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like that kind of translates too when we adapt that.
Yeah, definitely. I completely forgot about that. And I remember like when I would like read a manga and like you'd even have like the little kind of side stories, like vertical, like sometimes on the side of a comic page. I love that. And, you know, my primary platform for short form is still Tumblr. It just does really well on that platform still. And it's one of the few platforms that is like a social media platform with like viral dynamics that also allows for vertical scroll format. If I were, you know, posting on something like Blue Sky or Reddit or Instagram, you know, I would do more of like a, like there, you do a lot of kind of like four squares in a square shape. But for Tumblr, I just really love doing the vertical because it gives you like, it's so good for setting up a punchline because with the scroll, you have a reveal. And so people can't even get a hint of it ahead of time. And it's really effective for that.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I hadn't even thought about that because you're right. Like, then you can kind of hide the punchline in a way that you really couldn't with like horizontal comic. Like if you were reading it all on one page, like you could still kind of get a peek at like what's going to happen at the end if you're looking out of your peripheral vision and not necessarily seeing what was happening. But that's true.
Yeah, I have to force myself not to like jump ahead when I'm reading like comedy comics that are not vertically oriented. Like it's an exercise of willpower there. So
Yeah. And I like what you're saying, too, about like Tumblr being really nice because things can kind of go viral and kind of get passed around, too. I feel like short form really has that advantage, like because we both work on like long form comics, too. Yeah. And you can't necessarily share like any old page out of the archive and have it make sense to anybody. But short form, you can. Like if you're just doing strip comics or something like that, you could pass those around on just about any social media platform and have them kind of take on a life of their own.
Exactly. That's what's so handy about it, because you don't rely on any sort of external context. Everything is right there in the post. And then so the person who shares it from you, like they may know you, they know the type of work you do. The next person they pass it on to, they don't need to know anything about you in order to understand. I mean, sometimes it helps if they kind of know your brand or your vibe. They're like, oh yeah, this is that person's work. But they will not need to know, you know, what happened in this character's childhood in order to get the joke. Yeah, so it's really handy for social media in a way that long form isn't. And so I feel like they can complement each other in a way where, like, if you kind of struggle to get your long form comic posts out there, you can sometimes do like a little short form bit and get some eyes on your work.
Yeah, I think so too. I feel like you do want to try to be a little more regular if that's like an actual marketing tactical approach that you're doing, because like I feel like I don't tend to do that so much, but I do have a couple of short form comics that are just kind of floating around on Tumblr getting passed around, and people enjoy them, but they don't necessarily like attach them to me because I don't make a regular thing of it. I don't have like a brand around like what those sorts of comics. So like people will follow me and then they're like, wait, what's this Somnambulist thing? I don't know. That's not a joke. So I think there's like, they're fun to do and they're fun to get a little bit of attention from, but at least in my experience, getting that to transfer over to like readership for a long form comic is kind of hit and miss.
Yeah. Like I feel like I kind of fall in a middle range because I am not like a full-time short form comic creator, but I do them, I think, regularly enough that I've been able to maintain some sort of audience for them and also translate some of them into my webcomic. It's never, ever like a majority of them. And that's the thing, is you have to be like emotionally okay with the idea that if you have like 30,000 followers, that maybe only like 5 or 10,000 of them actually like your long form webcomic and the others are all just there for the one-off jokes.
Yes.
And that's fine. Because the thing is that like when you have one of those posts go viral, you just like, you end up having lots more people kind of just incidentally see your page, come back to see what it is that you're all about. And yes, they came because they liked that joke, but people are complex. Sometimes they like more than one thing. So some of them will translate over. And if your main focus is the comedy and humor stuff, well, then it's just, you know, win-win for you, because, you know, the difficult part is being consistent, because everyone, you know, I've gotten this sometimes from people who are like, oh yeah, like it must be so easy if you just do like a joke comic to go viral. And it's like, yeah, it's easy to go viral once. But to actually be consistently on and consistently funny, like that's a lot to ask of someone. And like, that's why I say I'm kind of in a middle ground where I don't think I have the steam. And also, this is not my primary project, so I can't just be funny all the time. So yeah, it looks easy on the outside, but there is some challenge there.
Yeah. And I like what you said, too, about like the emotional, you have to be emotionally ready for that, because I feel like sometimes I'm looking at the story that I spent like 15 years on developing these characters. I love them. I want people to know them. And I'm only getting 5 likes on them, but I'm getting 100,000 on this other thing. And it's like, you have to understand that it's not going to translate one to one. And it's not anything that's wrong with you. It's not anything that's wrong with the style of thing that you're doing, but it does get you into people's peripheral. It does get you kind of into like, okay, incidentally, you might like this other thing that I do. And, you know, just keeping consistent with both of those things can kind of reap some rewards if that's the way you're going. Plus, it's just fun. Like, I feel like everybody, like, we have some kind of weird commentary to talk about our cat or our audience or whatever. And we're just like, you know what? I can make a little comic about this. It, you know, it's funny to me. It's going to be funny to somebody else maybe. And I'll just put it into the world and see what happens. And like, there's just a joy in doing it in and of itself, in my experience.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what, you expect me to just not make jokes ever? Like, I know. I'm not that type of person. I am going to make jokes whether you like it or not. So yeah, I have this theory, like, because I completely feel what you're talking about, where it's like, it is just so much easier to get traction. You know, sometimes it's like you do this little joke and you do it in like a half hour, you're doing it in like 2 hours, and it gets so much feedback and it goes so far. And then you put all this love into your long form comic and it's taken you like 16 hours to do this page, and you put it on and it's like, yeah, so many or so fewer people interact with it. The way I look at it is, any, like, when I'm analyzing a long form story, you usually have a combination of literary elements. There's craft, there's intellectual stuff, there's world building, there's all this complexity. And then it's interwoven with these sort of lizard brain moments that compel the emotion and drive things forward and create a sense of urgency. And short form comedy is like all lizard brain. Mm. And social media is geared for lizard brain, and lizard brain always performs best on social media. And so it's just like, you know, it's not necessarily a marker of the comedy being better quality than your other stuff. It's that it's lizard brain. Like, and same thing with, you know, if you're doing a lot of romance is very driven by lizard brain, a lot of horror, fear, suspense, and even cute stuff. Hmm. Very, very lizard brain. And so it's like, it's this instinctive reaction that people have, even if they don't want to. You will find so many people who are like ashamed that this like lowbrow joke made them laugh, and they'll admit it in the Tumblr notes and stuff. But that's the thing, is lizard brain, it, people respond so strongly to it because it's almost involuntary and it's emotionally manipulative, so you have to use it responsibly.
Yes, absolutely. It's true. Like, everything is just, you only have so much time to process it. You only have like kind of your gut reaction to go by. And yeah, of course, like, you see a cute like video of a cat, like, everybody has that kind of lizard brain response to it, because like that's what you know. And that's like, it's not shameful to tap into that, unless like you're actually trying to incite something bad. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do want to talk about too, because we've touched on it a little bit, like just the long form narrative, because I think there's also a side of like, okay, I don't necessarily want to do a short form comedy work as my main project, but I do have elements of comedy. Comedy is a genre that I explore in my long form narrative. And I just want to talk about like how that's different from a short form or gag a day approach, like, in terms of how you work that into a long form narrative that has to make sense.
Yeah, that is such a good question, because yeah, I write these like epic length supernatural fantasy like queer web comics, but they are also extremely humor driven. Like, the plot mm-hmm. is serious, but a lot of the moment by moment stuff is lighthearted or comedic, and I do have some like actual like laugh out loud moments. And so there's a lot of balancing the tone. There's a lot of setting expectations up front. There's a lot of like, I mean, I opened my webcomic Into the Smoke with a joke. I actually opened Demon of the Underground with a joke too. I make my first jokes fairly early on, so people know that this is kind of the expectation. And then yes. Yeah. And then when a serious moment comes, if it's meant to be truly serious, you know, I let it be serious, but there is some, I want to hear like your approach too, because I feel like there's a lot of juggling, and Sambulus is such like, I feel like you do a really good job with that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it is absolutely balancing, because I love like puns. I love just kind of the surreal humor. I have an entire chapter about flying toasters.
I love that one. Oh,
yeah. And character moments, like I kind of qualify that as like, you know, this character, you know what they're going to react to do. Like, so you have some of the humor is also based on like knowing the characters and enjoying the interaction between the characters. And I feel like I'll use my paladin as an example. You meet Sydney, you know she's stubborn and she doesn't know when to step back or leave things alone because she has this very overblown sense of justice. And that gets really awkward, and you know, she gets her into hopefully humorous situations that she could totally get out of if she learned to chill. But she can't. She doesn't. And so that's kind of a staple of humor for me, is like, you can watch a character with grating or sometimes annoying traits, and you can make that work if at any moment they could step back and not double down, but they do choose to double down. Yeah. And the results are funny. And it's a balance though, because you can also have a situation where somebody does that and like they succeed too much, and so the audience just gets annoyed, or they're just jerky to their friends, and it's not fun to watch the interplay between them and the people around them. So you have to kind of balance that with more likable, sincere moments, in my experience. I also have two brother characters, one who is very strict with himself and one who is extremely irresponsible. So if I play that too serious, it's either going to be annoying to watch the goofy one making problems while the responsible one cleans them up, because nobody likes that situation. Yeah. Like everybody's been in a situation where like somebody like did something stupid and you're stuck with the damage to clean it up, or you don't want to have a situation where one looks like they're bullying the other. So I have to show that both the responsible one and the irresponsible one those are double-edged swords. They can both backfire. I have to show that sometimes the risk-taking pays off and sometimes playing it safe pays off, and that they're both likable on some level. So like nothing can get like too animosity driven. I feel like it's tricky. It's like, yeah. Try to talk it out. It's tricky.
Yeah, no, I completely get that, because like one of my things is I am not a fan of mean-spirited humor. And I want to say this as like, you know, there are people who are fans of mean-spirited humor. So I'm not saying like, don't write mean-spirited humor. I'm saying know your audience. Like if I were like I know that if I read Sambulus, I can count on the series not being mean-spirited. And it's just kind of like where you have that trust. And so I think a lot of it is about being consistent with the flavor and type of humor you're dealing with. Mm. Because if you set your expectation up front that, yeah, these characters are going to be kind of lightly ribbing each other a lot, or maybe really ribbing each other hard, you're going to attract readers who like that type of comedy. And then, you know, if you're someone who has been writing darker comedy and then you suddenly switch to something that's like a little too sincere, your readers are probably going to feel that it's like not genuine feeling, or that it's too saccharine or something like that. But on the other hand, if you've built up this kind of more gentle, sincere type of comedy throughout your series, and then suddenly you have this like really mean-spirited joke, your readership is not going to find that joke funny because you haven't cultivated that type of readership. So I feel like you're right. It's a lot of balancing, and it's a lot of being consistent, because comedy is also a style. So making sure that you're, you know, kind of delivering within the same range, I think is important.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so easy to go into like this pattern of like you make these jokes and you make these jokes. And I feel like sometimes that's happening too, like when you, like it can happen with romance or something, like you're shipping these characters and you're shipping these characters, and then they're like, then like you make a like post like, well, they're not together. Why did you think you're together? It's like, well, I saw all these things, saw all these indicators that you wanted me to ship them. Like, I don't know. That's the kind of readership you attracted. And it's so, I think the same is true for comedy. You do attract a certain readership depending on how you start out and how you continue. And yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of serious moments, especially right now in the plot of Zombulus, but I do try to make a space where we can laugh and we can like remember what we enjoyed about the characters, and that helps us like root for them in the end, I think is what I come back to, just being able to say like, yeah, I enjoy spending time with these characters. They're amusing me. And yeah, it's so weird.
No, I totally get that, though, because even when you have those more serious moments, you ask, like, what is it that makes the story enjoyable at its core? And I think balancing the more serious with the more comedic, you know, a lot of people feel like you kind of have to keep them really separate. I think there are ways that you can kind of weave them together, as long as you're not, for example, using comedy to like cheapen a really impactful moment or kind of diffuse it. Like, if something really important happened, you kind of want to let that, well, okay, depending on the type of story you're writing, if you want that moment to have resonance as a serious moment, then diffusing it with a joke can, you know, kind of ruin it. And likewise, you know, I think I've seen this more probably in like TV than in comics, but you'll see someone like make this like really funny joke, and then like immediately after that, something just totally devastating happens. And that can be really effective to like jar and shake the reader, but it's one of those tricks that like you can only do it once because you have kind of broken trust there, and then none of your future jokes will land the same way after that one. So if you're going to do something like that, you have to be so committed to it and so committed to that moment of really jarring the reader, because yeah, there are some things where you can only do it once, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Like spoilers for Serenity. Like, but yeah, there are ways to use comedy that like to make people, one of my favorite scenes in Zombulus really is one where like I have, you know, just a character confronting like a kind of emotionally abusive like family member, and he's like the jokey character, and like this is when you find out that like the jokes are like just trying to avoid his real emotions. Uh-huh, and so you get to the point where he's like his friend is asking, hey, are you okay? Like, what, that was really bad, like what's going on? And he's just like, now he's trying to make jokes and they're not funny. And it's like, oh no, okay, I get what's going on. And I think the readership really responded to that. It's one of my favorite scenes. So that's something that you can set up with a character that's comedic too, because I feel like that's the thing too. A comedic character doesn't have to be shallow.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a reason that we reach to comedy in real life to like deal with our problems or describe their problems. There's kind of black humor situations where you're using this to describe a serious issue and deal with it. And so that's an area that I think is fun to explore as well.
Definitely. Like, I feel like it's almost universally true that people who are very comedic and joke a lot are kind of using it as a shield for something. And maybe the something they're shielding isn't like so deep, but sometimes it's pretty deep. And I feel like that's so powerful in character development. Like for me, I feel like I have fewer characters who themselves are like very funny and making jokes. I probably do more like situational comedy, but when you have a character who is that sort of lighthearted, you know, kind of jokey, I do have some of them actually, and they do tend to be the ones with like the darkest backstories, because I think that humor, it is sort of a defense mechanism sometimes, and also it just has the effect of soothing and self-soothing. So it's something that you can use within your characters, and then you can also kind of use it with your readers, be like, it's okay, here's a joke, you know?
Yeah, but, it's true. It's true. I really resonate with those characters. I feel like there's a level of sincerity that you can get out of those characters that only comes from getting to know them as, like, you know, they're the funny one, they're the nice one. Yeah. And so it's something that I encourage people to look for and try to utilize.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, like, and sometimes I'm looking at people come to me for advice about, like, they're trying to make an effort to make either a full comedy genre comic or something that weaves comedic moments into the narrative, but maybe the jokes are not as engaging, or a character that they think is very funny is not landing with the readers. How do you go about troubleshooting that?
You know, that is an interesting question, because there are so many different ways to look at it and ways to ask yourself, like, why did that not land? And so for me, I actually, like, I enjoy watching stand-up comedy, and I listen to some, like, podcasts with comedians where they, like, talk about the craft and they talk about what they do and they talk about, you know, going to different shows and workshopping the joke, you know, trying, like, different tweaks on it with different audiences until they get it just right. I feel like artists maybe don't really think about the idea that they can rework a joke or re-release something or refine it. And I think that's one thing. But before you do that, you kind of have to figure out where you went wrong in the first place. And I think the first question I would ask is, are you even sending it to the right audience? Like, is this a Tumblr joke that you're posting on Reddit and, like, the Reddit crowd is different? Or, you know, is it, you know, like, have you just not found the type of reader who reacts to it? So I kind of feel like a good first step is, like, who are the type of people that you think should have found this funny? And do they find it funny?
Yeah.
And yeah. So, like, that's my first thought. I have a few thoughts, but I want to hear what you think too.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of comedy is setting up expectations. And so we all, like, you can visualize, like, a kid in elementary school, 5 years old or something like that, and you say a funny word like butts or farts or whatever, and that's funny to them because
funny to me too, I guess.
But, like, the thing is that you weren't expecting me to say butts or farts there, because, like, that's not a thing I would normally say on a podcast. And similarly, when you're very young, you haven't had the life experience to hear swearing yet. You've been told that you shouldn't swear. And so all your peers can't swear. None of your parents or responsible adults swear or use funny words. So when you hear it, like, for the first couple times, that's going to be funny to you because that defies your expectations. Mm-hmm. And so the older you get, the more experience you get, of course, and the less that, you know, butts and farts are going to be funny to you because, okay, I've heard that a million times at this point. What's new? That's not necessarily funny to me. So look for where you're setting up expectations. Of course, if you're using a real life sort of scenario or backdrop for your comic, then you can draw from real life. But if you're making kind of a fantasy or sci-fi genre, you might have to do a little more work to establish what's the normal here. And sometimes establishing, hey, this is normal in this world. Isn't that funny that it's normal, not normal in our world, is a form of humor as well.
Yeah.
So figuring that out, I think there's a comedy concept called the rules of threes, where like, if you're setting up a joke, you say one thing and you say the next thing, and those form a pattern, and then you break the pattern in the third thing. And that's kind of a easy way to conceptualize. You're setting up the pattern by talking about this. We're talking about dog, you know, owning a pet. So you're saying, yeah, I know somebody who owns a dog and a cat and a sense of ennui. And so, like, that's it. You were expecting the third thing to be another animal, but I just threw some sort of curveball at you with the sense of ennui. Like, oh, okay. So that can be a way to approach the setting up of at least an individual joke, like on a micro scale, but also blowing that up to a macro scale and establishing what's normal, then break the normal.
It's funny because I feel like you've just illuminated to me in real time that I respond very strongly to the unexpected. and that that is also a lot of like what I like to do in my comedy. I learned something today. That's so, so amazing.
Yeah, it works. Like if you kind of think about it, like you need at least two things to set up the pattern and then you break it.
Yeah. Yeah. That is so, so good. I never really like other than instinctively, I hadn't really picked up on that before. And it's absolutely true that. Wow. Yeah. So one thing that I also think about a lot is how does the art style serve the joke or the comedic element of the situation and vice versa? Because the actual content, like if like let's say that the joke is like what's actually being said by a character, that's so separate from like the art style and the setup and the pacing, and how you treat the visuals might be what's holding back the actual substance of the joke. Like it's one of those things where, you know, this is not a universal rule, but typically comedic works will be drawn in a simpler, less photorealistic, less beautiful type of style because beauty isn't typically all that funny. And you know, there are ways, you know, I've seen some exceptions, but you know, there's some expectations when it comes to art style where, you know, if you go into a comic and you've got these like beautiful, like, you know, beautiful compositions, these beautiful landscapes, this like, you know, these lens flares, and, you know, this dramatic lighting and so on, people are going to go into that expecting not a short form comedy. And obviously, you know, if you have a good punchline for that, go for it. But, you know, if you just happen to draw in that style well and you're trying to adapt it to a comedy comic, that's probably not going to be as effective. So it's just something to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we do work in a visual medium and being able to like, yeah, we come into this expectation of like, okay, this is going to be very serious toned. This is going to be very, I should take it very seriously. And you can subvert that for sure. But you do have to recognize that I think a lot of times if you're relying on the writing, you don't need that. And overcomplicating your art can also undermine visual gags, I feel like. Mm-hmm. You want the contrast if you're showing like actual slapstick humor where silly things are happening and it relies on the body language. Yes. Yeah. If you're relying on body language, you need some very clear silhouettes. And that's where simpler art can kind of shine for you. Even if you're looking at XKCD, XKCD has a lot of jokes and a lot of humor with the stick figures because we can clearly see what's going on and they're not detracting from what is probably more important than the art is the text. So we need a lot of text in a situation like XKCD. They need a lot of room and they cannot have the art taking away from that. And then, and again, it comes back to knowing your audience, knowing that your audience is kind of cerebral and like is going to be fine with reading a wall of text because they're, you know, in the science or math sorts of engineering paths, and so they're used to that. They're very literary, and so you can get away with that versus maybe a crowd that would just want to have a simpler joke and a simpler visual. So yeah, that's absolutely something that you can work into the language of your humor, I guess.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about XKCD is that I think because the jokes can be so complex, like that's why the visuals have to be like almost even more simple. Because it's like you have everything that is not integral to understanding the joke, you have to be able to get across so quickly, you know, because a lot of comedy does have to do with the immediacy of it. And if your reader has to try to parse what they're looking at, that'll always take away from the joke.
Yeah, for sure. It's very interesting to me too, just because I'm trying to think of like if XKCD had like a very illustrative style, like it wouldn't work, right?
Yeah, yeah, I probably not. I mean, like maybe someone's genius enough to make it work, but I'm not.
Yeah. And I think what you can do if you do have like kind of a more detailed style, I think that's where like facial expressions can kind of shine, where you can kind of have a beat where somebody makes a face and you can really render that out in like, you know, maybe even a more grotesque way or like a very exaggerated way, that could kind of be fun for a moment. But you do have to be consistent with that, because to your earlier point, it's just like people aren't going to come in expecting that necessarily.
Yeah, it's funny because my style does tend to be a little more realistic and serious depending on which of my comics you're reading. And when I do get to a funny moment, I dumb down my style a little bit. And, you know, those panels tend to follow comedy conventions a little more. It's kind of like, you know, you see it a lot in manga where like people kind of like snap into those other like very exaggerated kind of like, not exactly chibi, but like the, like these, I don't,
it's simplified. Like,
yeah, it's simplified. Yeah. And you have the flexibility in long form to jump back and forth, and you can actually even do it pretty abruptly. And if you execute it with like good pacing, it can be really effective. And that's just a matter of like, you know, read it, reread it, give it to beta readers, see what other people think. Getting that external feedback before you actually publish it is very helpful, especially if you got the nice beta readers who will leave their like laughter in the notes and stuff. But yeah, and the other thing with long form is that, you know, not every joke that, like, I write down everything in my notes. Like, if I come up with something really funny, I write it down because I don't want to forget it. Sometimes I'll go back to it and it's like, oh, this joke just, it doesn't actually fit in the scene that I wanted to put it in. And that's like devastating for me, because you can't tell me to not make a joke. It's not fair. So like, but I also don't want to ruin the story and I don't want to tell a bad story. So, you know, that's where the beautiful and lovely Patreon comes in, or yes, you know, where you just have like, you know, wherever you're putting your little side stuff, you can do a little one-off mini on the side that isn't a part of that other scene and isn't now going to ruin that other scene. And maybe even you can make a little bit of extra money for people who want to see that funny bit. Or you can, like, you know, once you get like 5 or 10 of them, you put them in a collection and sell it on Itch or something like that. So yeah, there are ways that you can use those one-off jokes. And because a joke is oftentimes easier to package, you can kind of take that moment and throw it on social media and get people excited. Like, that's how I discovered like the Way of the House Husband, was I saw so many of these little one-off, you know, jokey scenes from it. And I was like, okay, this guy's consistently funny. It's like, I have to read this. And so there are things that you can do with a funny little scene, even if it doesn't fit into the main comic, you can find another way to tell that joke.
Yeah, that's so smart. And I feel like recognizing when a joke is not working and is going to interrupt the narrative and perhaps being distracting or annoying to the reader is like a skill in and of itself, because I feel like if you're trying to cram jokes in, you can undermine the character relatability for the reader. And that's just going to disengage the reader. So you need to kind of figure out the pacing, figure out, like, keep the good stuff, like maybe shift the other stuff to the side in a side Patreon or a little book or something like that. To your point, they're great for advertising. I know like Phantom Marine does a lot of that too, where there's just some silly things that they don't belong in the comic. They shouldn't be in the comic because they're not working with the narrative, but they have that lizard brain appeal and they're gonna work really nicely on social media and get people curious about these characters if they're consistently funny. And I feel like, yeah, that's the thing to do. If you have these jokes in your heart, if you have these things and you're making this long form comic, like, don't throw them out. Yeah,
never throw out a good joke. It's such a waste.
I know. But the thing is too, like, if you're asking for beta reader help, sometimes I feel like if they're your friends, they might tell you something is funny when something isn't, or they won't be able to troubleshoot, like, necessarily, like, why isn't this joke working? Like, it's complex. Like, we can talk about this for hours. We've been talking about this for a while. And sometimes it's hard to diagnose, I guess, why a joke isn't funny. So yeah, I'm not sure what to do about that. You got to practice. You got to get some candid reader interactions and just kind of watch for people's reactions sometimes, I feel like.
Yeah. A lot of comedy is being brave enough to get the feedback from people you don't know and being willing to have people say, like, I don't get it. Like one of my most popular mini comics on Tumblr right now, it just started going around again. It's about rock climbing. And like, there's like a million, like not a million, it's not a million, it's like 30,000, but it's like, there's like a lot of tags of people just like typing their laughter hysterically in the tags. And then there's also like the most visible comment on it is someone like, wait, what's going on? I don't get it. And so like, even with a successful joke, you're gonna have people who don't get it. And, you know, seeing like, one of the things I actually love about Tumblr is that you do see that interaction in the tags, because tags are like what they don't really expect the creator to be reading, or at least, you know, it's a little bit more low key than actually commenting on something. So you kind of get, yeah, like a more direct and honest, like, oh, okay, this is what was really going through their mind. And like, there's one comic I had blow up where like, it was about melting butter, and like, you know, most people, it's kind of like a surreal horror comedy comic. And so like, most of the people were responding to that. And then you get some people who are like, why are you melting an entire stick of butter? And I'm like, okay, fine. You've never made brownies before. I get it. It's fine. but you know, there's going to be some people who don't like, you know, connect to the actual point of the joke. And that's all right. It's like, as long as enough people, as long as you're getting the sense that the joke is landing among the people it's supposed to land with, you shouldn't take a few outliers as a sign that the joke isn't landing, because there will always be some people who don't get it. But if you're mostly getting like the I don't get it, or if the post just doesn't go anywhere because no one's interacting with it, you know, that could be because people just didn't see it. That could be, you know, for numerous reasons. It could also be because people didn't like get the joke. So that's where you have to actually take it out to someone and be like, hey, do you get this? And it's like really awkward to have to ask that sort of thing. But if you are trying to workshop a joke, then it's just like any other sort of beta reading and any other sort of critique. And, you know, jokes can sometimes feel a little more personal, but, you know, it's just one of those things you gotta get the thick skin for.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
Yeah, and on the subject of like, if your post just didn't get seen by anyone and maybe that's the reason why it's not getting traction, another thing you want to consider is like, what platform are you posting it on, and is it like an algorithmic platform? Because I mentioned that I do a lot of my humor posting on Tumblr, where I also post my long form webcomic. And because of the way Tumblr works, my readers, for the most part, will still see, you know, both types of my posts. But if you're on something like Instagram, if you're on something that's more algorithmic, that's more making the decisions about what your followers see and don't see, chances are if you're combining different types of content, like, you know, you're doing your art, but you're also posting your cat pics and everyone just loves your cat so much, well, the algorithm is going to think that your successful posts are the cat posts, and then they're going to punish your other stuff. So it's a little tricky if you're balancing and combining, you know, multiple types of things, and you just have to know like which platforms you can do that on, and just keep that in mind as another example of like, well, why didn't this little bit land? I mean, maybe the algorithm is making it go to the wrong audience.
Yeah. For sure. There's so many things that we could talk about that we have talked about, about our algorithms and like what they do and not to let the numbers get to you sometimes, but just absolutely in terms of comedy too, because that virality has the potential to happen on comedic posts. Like, that's something that you need to take into consideration as well. But
exactly.
Yeah. So I think we're just about good on time. So I'm going to wrap this up because, I think we've talked about a lot of fun comedy stuff.
Yes, we've had some sensible chuckles.
Sensible chuckles, some good surprises and stuff. And yeah, it can get very scientific. Like, you think comedy is easy because it's lighthearted and stuff, but it can be a little bit of a nut to crack. So you gotta work on it and workshop and get feedback, and like anything else, it's a skill that you can build. So with that, I have been Delphina. You can find my webcomic Sombulus at sombulus.com.
And I have been Bob, and you can find my webcomics at intothesmokecomic.com and demonoftheunderground.com.
Woo! Okay. Thank you so much. Go be funny! Now!
Now! Do it! You have to.
You must. All right. Stop.
Thank you for listening to Screen Tones, a webcomic podcast. You can find all our episodes at screentonescast.com. We've got a couple links over there to our Ko-fi and merch shop, where your support will help us create more episodes and keep us talking about anything and everything webcomics. You can also find us on YouTube, Blue Sky, Tumblr, and our Discord server. Thank you so much for listening, sharing, rating, and supporting, and we'll see you next time.